Okay, our next speaker, Rose Martinez Dawson, is talking about challenging statistical claims in the media, course and gender effects.
Today we're going to talk about challenging statistical claims in the media. And for you to get a better idea of what it is that I did in this research, we're going to have you kind of get involved in this. So I have an ad here, and it's from Allstate. I feel like I should be talking in a lower voice. But it says in this ad that there are 6 million car accidents every year in America. We think that's entirely too many. It's time to make the world a better place to live, to place to drive. That's Allstate stand. So what I want you to do is I want you to look at this ad. Do you believe this ad and what it's saying? Or do you have questions about this statistical claim? And what I want you to do is either make a mental note or write it down. What are those questions that you might have concerning this claim? And I'm going to give you about 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and what we're going to do is see how that compares with what the research showed. Okay, so I want you to keep those questions in mind as we go through this seminar. In today's world, we live in a society where information is around us all the time. And with a simple keystroke of the computer, we can get a world of information. The problem is that some of this information may be misleading or even inaccurate. And for a segment of society, they believe that anything they see in print or hear in the news, it has to be the truth. And so in statistics education, at least I think our goal should be is to move students where they believe everything they read and hear to one where they intelligently question those things, those claims that they come into contact with during their everyday life. The goal being to have an informed citizenry that can use this information to make informed decisions in their lives. So this brings us to the idea of statistical literacy. And I believe statistical literacy involves the ability to critically evaluate statistics encountered in everyday life, with emphasis on the idea of critical evaluation. There are several models of statistical literacy in the literature. The one I'm going to talk about today is Watson's hierarchical model. And this is a three-tiered model, with each tier kind of depending or building the foundation for the next tier. In the first tier, it involves a basic understanding of statistical terminology like mean, median, variance. And the second tier, it's taking that information within the context and being able to make some types of inferences. And the example I like to use in my classes that, you know, like we've talked about before in this session, that statistics are numbers within a context. And to truly understand that statistic, you have to understand the context. So what I tell my students is I have a daughter who is a rising senior in high school. And she runs both track and cross country. And especially in track, she runs 800 meters and longer distances. And she runs a certain time for 1500 or 1600 meter distance. And I have no idea what that number means. As her mom, I'm concerned about if that ride home is going to be a happy ride or a sad ride home. But I have no idea what a 212 minute 1500 or 1600 meter means. And so I tell students, you have to understand the context in order to really understand the statistic. And finally, that third tier, which I think is really the most sophisticated level of thinking about statistics, is to develop a questioning attitude about statistics. And this really takes into account those other two tiers. As an initiative at Clemson University, there was reorganization of development of general education classes so that the classes, general education classes, would have some more relevance into students' lives. And so in our department, we came up with a course called Statistics in Everyday Life, and I'll just call it SEAL, or I might flip up and actually call it by its number, which is 2.2. It was developed to promote statistical literacy. It's a sophomore level class. And what we designed it to be is to actually follow the topics in a traditional introductory statistics course with the emphasis on concepts rather than formulas. And these statistical concepts are couched in what we refer to as everyday life modules. We perform a lot of in-class activities in order to get students to understand these statistical concepts. The theoretical basis of this course was David Ossebell's meaningful reception theory, which says that you build new knowledge, new meaningful knowledge, based on prior knowledge. That in order to make that bridge between prior knowledge and new meaningful knowledge, you have to have something which he refers to as an advanced organizer. And an advanced organizer can be anything from a book, an article. We use more technology, where we use videos, maybe from YouTube, or maybe articles off of the internet. This is an outline for SEAL, where you can see in the first column we have those everyday life modules. You can see it picks up from different things, from society to government to lottery, sports, education, liberal arts, the environment, and so on, and the different statistical emphasis areas for each of those modules. So we start off each of the modules kind of giving background information, as in the prior knowledge, and then build on that and produce meaningful knowledge in terms of the statistics. Now, I was motivated to do this research about looking at the questioning attitude of students in about several years ago when we were looking at the section on the environment. We talk about things such as standard error and sampling, distributions and central limit theorem, all these real topics that students are really excited about. And then at the end, we showed parts of an inconvenient truth. And we showed it from, we said, we're going to put your statistician hats on. We looked at it in terms of the statistical nature of an inconvenient truth. And most of the time, the response from students is very positive. They're like, wow, I never really thought about that. You know, when I was in high school, all we did was watch the documentary. We never really talked about it. And so there was one particular student who basically would not listen to what I had to say. He basically had his hands over his ears, so to speak, and wouldn't listen. He wouldn't question. And at first I got kind of angry about it, because I'm like, well, here it is. Here's the information. You see it on the film. Issues with definitions and scales of graphs and so on. And then I started thinking, well, what is it that you question? Or do you even question anything at all? And that really motivated me to look at this idea of the questioning attitude of students. What inspired me, though, for this research is something that I actually read from one of Milo Shield's papers. And it really stuck with me. And it says this: statistical literacy is more about questions than answers. It doesn't have many answers, but it should help one to ask better questions. Oops, going back. Questions, and thereby make better judgments and decisions. Statistical literacy helps one answer the question asked of most statistics: What does this mean? So this led me to some research questions. I wanted to know what areas of concerns or challenges did students raise when viewing media that makes statistical claims. Looking at before the course, after the course, could I see a change in topic categories? And were there differences based on gender? So what I did was I actually took that advertisement from Allstate, another advertisement, and an article to kind of get a range of different media type articles. They were given on the second day of class and on the final exam in the spring of 2009. 144 students, a little more than half were female. And just like you saw at the beginning, they were asked to provide questions concerning the statistical claim. I wanted to use real-world examples and a broad range of examples, and I also wanted to try to simulate what people would see in their everyday life. You go to the internet, you look at a site, and you go, well, is that the truth, or do I have questions about that statistical information? I matched responses before and after the course, and when I talk about statistical significance, it's at the 5% level. So what I want you to do is think about the questions that you had and look at the 5 most common concerns or questions that students had prior to taking SEAL. You can see the number 1 was looking at the definition or type of accident. In other words, if it was a car accident, does it have to involve just cars? Can it also involve trucks or motorcycles? The type of accident, did it have to be like a full-blown accident where it was, you know, cars were totaled, or could it be just minor scratches? We're looking at the source of that $6 million. How was the information actually obtained? What were other factors that might have affected the accident? Could they actually, they talk about 6 million accidents, well, what about unreported accidents? Were those actually included? And the effective definition of a car accident on the 6 million. Okay. Oops. After the course, these are what we saw. We saw an increase in these questions that students had after taking SEAL. We saw that the ones that are in blue were the ones that we saw the most dramatic increase in, with definition or type, and how was the information obtained. But in most of the cases, we did see an increase in that percentage that actually made those challenges. We also looked at the change in the response patterns before and after by student. And you can see that several of these are related to definitions, 4 of them are related to definitions. We have a couple that are related to kind of statistical terms, which you would hope that that would improve after taking a statistics course. And then we had 3 that were related to about how the information was actually obtained. We then looked at it by sex, and we saw before the course, we saw a higher proportion of females talk about the idea of correlation. And that, of course, is due to the fact that they probably had more statistics classes than the males. After the course, we saw that more males asked about the definition of America. Did that just include the United States? We're talking about North America, South America, all of North and South America. And we had more females ask, proportion of females ask if we could question if all the accidents could be counted. When we look at the significant change in pattern by sex, we see for both males and females, definition, MOEOs, confidence intervals. For male, there were only 2. But for female, we happen to have a lot more questions in which we could change the response pattern for after taking SEAL. And why we had so many more females than males in these response patterns, I think a lot more research needs to be asked or needs to be looked at with looking at gender. So from the conclusions, yes, we did see an increase in the percentage of responses to what I think are important topic categories. Would I like to see more? Yes, absolutely. We saw gender differences. Why that happens, I don't know. But I think more research needs to be looked at into that. Some things to consider, you know, we're talking about one particular course, one university, three specific media articles. We also think they had, the students had to write down that information. And so there could be a link between this idea of general literacy and statistical literacy. The T factor could be in, they had the entire 50-minute period to write, so you might have had fatigue with actually having three articles they had to look at. And I did the open format. If you had used prompts, maybe you might have gotten some different information. I don't know. Overall importance, I think it provides the beginning of looking at insight into statistical literacy of college students. We want these students to think of statistics at a higher level, to see the relevance, and to have an incentive to take more statistics courses. This could be a building block for looking at this questioning attitude and maybe influence the development of courses on statistical literacy using media articles and everyday life modules. What I think in the end is that statistical literacy, like general literacy, takes time. It takes more than one course. It is something that should be promoted from elementary through higher education. So much time and so much energy is focused on getting the right answer that little time is actually spent on getting students to question things. And in our society, where we have so much information that's available and some of this information is inaccurate, what we need to do is promote this culture of questioning. Just as an aside, this is one of the other articles. This was with Cottage Cheese, looking at if 4 to 5 women have occasional irregularity, be that other woman. And then this last article, where we have depression hits 1 in 10 teen girls per year. It's a study done in Canada, and it was teenage girls self-reporting whether they had a massive depression episode. So we got students to think about that as well. So, do you have any questions? Yes.
When you do the pre-questionnaire, do you go over it, or do you just
pass? No, I didn't do anything. I basically tried to persuade them to do their best job by saying it's a second year class, you know, this is your first grade, and a lot of students are trying to, you know, really try to impress me, show me what they know, but no, nothing was ever done because it showed up on the final exam. Yes. I did, but I pretty much gave them credit on it because it was part of the study. So we actually had two parts. I gave them as the first part because I didn't want any of the questions or anything on the kind of the real final exam anyway influencing them. So I did that first. I did a random order, kept track of each student, what random order they had pre and post. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. I mean, it's a fine line. We've been teaching this course for probably 7-8 years now. And at first, you want to, because that can be somewhat cynical, and you don't want that cynicism, you know, kind of bleeding over into your students. And it takes a fine line where you say, you know, sometimes we do the best that we can do. We take that into consideration and go on from there. So, yeah, it is a fine line that you walk.
Let's thank our speaker.